Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. I don't know that you can see those two words. The first word is kephale, which means head, and the second word is hupotasso, a Greek word which means to be submitted to that head. So those are the two words today that I want to dwell on. Ephesians 5, and starting at verse 21, submitting yourselves, hupotasso, the word, one to another in the fear of God. So to submit yourself to someone else is not to obey them. That's what most people think. To submit yourself is to lay yourself open transparently, whether you've obeyed or disobeyed, so that God may then deal with you as you are. So whether we always submit is one thing, but we always submit in the way that He desires, which is come clean, hide nothing at all. So submission doesn't mean obey. It means submit, that is, open yourself up without any games, without any subterfuge, without any fig leaves, without anything covering your nakedness. Just submit to me as you are. Whatever you feel, whatever you think, whatever you want, don't lie. Just tell me what you think, what you feel, what you want. So the word submission has nothing to do with obeying. It has to do with coming clean before the Maker. And let him decide what to do. To be a head, as the Father is to the Son, 2 Corinthians 11:2, to be a head does not mean to be a tyrant or a angry judge or someone that dominates you. But to be a head actually means to be a servant. So the head submits to the one submitting. So when it says, submit yourselves one to another, it's really talking about open yourselves up one to another in the fear of God, meaning according to the way that wives submit or husbands submit, it's different. They don't submit in the same way at all. So to submit one to another in the fear of God means according to the way God has positioned you in love, the way He has set it up in love. How many know that there's no difference between a man and a woman in the sight of God? They're both human. They're both worthy. They both have dignity. They're equal. They're completely equal in their dignity and their value and their worth. So God has not made one junkie and the other one powerful and majestic. It's a love thing. It has to do with the government of love. The way that God orders, the way that God, Jet, be ordered. Now, the way that God orders everything is the word tasso, hupo tasso. It's like hyper tasso, tagma. What that means in the Greek language is under hupo tasso, the order of God. Submit yourself under the order of God, which is to be totally open and transparent. Now, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, for example, all that God wanted them to do was to say, God, the tree you told us not to eat of, we did. That's all. That's all He wanted. He didn't want them to fig leaf it and say, we're not really naked, when they really were. Because God has eyes that penetrate fig leaves, and He can see you're lying to me. I don't mind that you ate of the tree and now you're going to die. That I don't care about. What I care about is when you ate of the tree, you didn't come to me and say, Lord, I sinned. That's all. He didn't want you to change. He didn't want you to feel bad. He didn't want you to go, oh, woe is me. Now I've sinned, so I guess I'm going to die. He didn't want you to take matters in your own hand. Remember, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't know what good and evil is. Ask God. He might have a different view of things. So when you come naked before God, it's all God has ever wanted. Don't lie to him because he can see right through your lies. And so the sin of the church is not that they sin. It's that after they sin, they hide it. The sin of the church is not that they sin. It's that when they sin, they hide it. Same in a marriage. Same in any relationship. As far as God is concerned, you can lie to other people or do what you want. But as far as God is concerned, don't lie to him because he can see through it. Now, I would say most people actually may not know it, but they know there's something wrong. They may not know what it is. They just know, somehow I don't feel loved by you. Or somehow I don't think you feel loved by me. And so that's just coming clean. Most marriages fail. All marriages fail because there's no transparency. There's no trust one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, wives submit differently than husbands. A wife, being the submitted one on the bottom, the wife is just comes before God and says, you know, I don't trust you. I love you, but I don't trust you. There's no problem there because she doesn't. And in fact, there's a scripture on that. Put not your trust in man, but put your trust in the Lord. That is a powerful idea, is that we're never to trust people. I don't know if you've noticed that with people. They're not trustworthy. And some of you are people. You're not trustworthy. Did you know that? That there's something wicked in the heart of everybody, and God didn't put it there. You did. There's something wicked, and then we try to hide that, but you can't hide it. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. They didn't say that. They went, what? What? What did I do? I don't think I did anything. Oh, the woman you gave me. You gave me that woman. I didn't even have a choice with others. The orangutan, but I thought, no. So I didn't know that woman you gave me, that special one that you made right out of my rib. You know what? I married her in good faith, but you gave her to me. And she said, treacherous. She wanted to give me an apple, and I took it. Well, I mean, I shouldn't have, but I did, and I blame you for that. How many know that Adam didn't blame the snake? He just went straight to God and said, you've sinned. I didn't do it. I'm innocent because I blame you for that. Eve, much more clever because she was the one that started the whole deal. And so she said, okay, I can't blame God like Adam did. That's rotten of him. But I'll tell you what. I blame the snake. He deceived me. I wouldn't have sinned if I hadn't been deceived. I mean, he tricked me. He really did. How many women were tricked when you got married by the man that you married? He kind of tricked you because he kind of pretended like he was what he wasn't. You know, he wasn't all that he was cracked up to be. He presented himself as a cracked up to be good guy. He was not that trustworthy. But then the scripture says, don't trust a man. Because God knew what was in man, Jesus said, and needed no one to bear witness of him. So, in other words, Jesus said something like this. Did you know that the heart of man is wicked? That the heart of every man is wicked, not because that's the way God made him. He didn't make him that way. He actually put a conscience in him that said, don't do wrong, do right. He put that in them. So they have a witness inside of themselves that is written by the very finger of God on their heart that says, don't do wrong, always do right. So they know that. They know there's right and wrong like that. They just don't know exactly what it is, and they often then fudge it. And they often then just want to do wrong, and then they try to make up some reason for it. Let's see. Ah, the woman thou gavest me. So he came up with some kind of a justification. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. It was the woman you gave me. I mean, that's how I fell into that. You know what? It wasn't really my fault. I blame you. So that Adam, he just sins right against God. It's just no fear at all about that. And Eve, she just blames the serpent. You know what? I wouldn't have done it except for the serpent. It's Satan. Can you blame me? How many can see that there's something wrong here? You kind of have a witness inside of yourself that you're the culprit instead of the victim. How many are victims? You know not to say that. but people feel like victims of other people's sinfulness and wickedness. I'm a victim of her. I'm a victim of him. You know, I told her to do something. She didn't do it. I've been victimized. I have needs, you know. How many know that's a wimp? That's not a man. That's a wimp. You know, he just should have said, you know what? I wanted something and she didn't do it. I hate her. That would have been clean. How many know that would have been clean? So when someone doesn't do what you want, you don't get to manipulate them and trick them. You have to come clean. You have to come open. So here's what a woman is to do. This is how to make a perfect marriage. Anybody can have one. You can have it at any time, by the way. You can have it even after they're dead. I'm serious. You can get right. Because you're not a victim. You're a culprit. And everybody's equal. I don't know if you know that, but everybody's equally wicked. Everybody's equally wicked. Could I see a show of hands? Equally wicked, equally wicked. Jesus said, you know, that's I didn't make you that way, but you chose it. Your essence was chosen by you. Your existence I gave. But I didn't tell you in your existence to do wrong. I told you to do right and avoid wrong. Eschew evil. Don't do it. I was very clear on that. The day you eat of it, you'll die. They checked their watches. We got 24 hours. And then we're dead. We're finished, you know. And God came into the garden, you know, just soon after. It's like, hey, where are you? Now, how many know that God knew where they were? So it's kind of tricky on his part to say that. Where are you? Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where he was. When you love people, you know where they are. What God was saying was, where are you in relationship to me? You used to be submitted to me, you used to be obedient to me, we used to be in a relationship. What happened? Where are you in relationship to me? Am I an angry judge now, or am I a loving father? I believe you just changed me because of what Satan said. In other words, Satan was able to trick the two of you into eating this forbidden fruit, and I told you not to do that. Because once you're on your own and you do what Satan says, now you're independent of God. You don't have a relationship with him. You don't trust him anymore. You trust yourself and you trust the enemy. You're in trouble. So that's why God says, here's what I'm going to do with y'all. I'm going to forgive you. And then I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So I'll not only forgive you for what you've done, I'll actually help you not to done it anymore. I don't want to just forgive you so that you keep doing it. I want to actually change you and alter you, but it's voluntary. I'm not going to force you to do it with my left hand. I tried that with the Jewish people. It didn't work. I told them, don't sin anymore. Like any of the other nations around about, don't be like them. Separate yourself unto me. Do what's right. Eschew what's wrong. I don't want you to be like them at all. I want you to be my people. If my people will humble themselves. If my people will pray, if my people will seek my face, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Oh, just my people. Well, we're his people. And so God is saying, you know, all I want from you is humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Then I'll take care of everything else. Don't handle it yourselves. So what do we do? We handle everything ourselves. We're just like Adam and Eve. I like what King David did. God. You remember my best friend Uriah? Killed him. You remember his wife? I took her. You remember, you know, me telling the truth? Man after God's own heart? I'm not. I didn't. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. And then he thought, you know what I need? Create in me a clean heart, O God. This heart, this old heart is full of wickedness. Even though I'm a man after God's own heart, I didn't do it. I'm well aware of that now. Give me a new heart. I need one. That's your prayer. Your prayer is not even like David, because he's already given you a new heart. He's already given you a new heart. He can't create another heart in you. You already have a new heart. So you can be born again, but yet still not pure. And yet you have a new heart. David said, give me a new heart and I'll have a right spirit within me and everything will be okay. Well, guess what? The church has a new heart. Everybody in the church who believes in Jesus has a new heart. He's got a new heart. The problem is, that's all you got. You don't have a new soul. You don't have a new body yet. You don't have a new life. You're still living as though you weren't a new creation. You're living like the old creation, doing exactly what the Jews did, and they weren't even born again. Well, there's a problem in the church. Let judgment begin in the household of God. Isn't that exciting? Is that not exciting? Is that not? I mean, here God's giving us another opportunity then to stop making excuses and fig leaves and justifying what we want to do. You know why you sin? You want to. And then you use your mind just to justify it. Well, the reason I sin, look what she did. The reason I sin, look what he did. How many know that men and women both sin? How many know that both of them sin? You can't just say, here's the good guy and here's the bad guy. You can't do it that way. Or here's the good guy and here's the bad guy. Or she thinks she's smarter than me. Or he thinks he's smarter than me. Or, you know, he's evil. Well, so am I. So there's no way to keep the teeter-totter straight. You're not going to have a relationship. Because as long as one is smarter than the other or better than the other or, you know, more strong than the other or whatever, it's not going to work. Now, what would happen if God was the kafale, the head? Did you know that God the Father never submits to Jesus the Son? I'm going to say it again. Did you know that God the Father never submits to the Son? Jesus, what do you want me to do? It's the other way around. Jesus always submits to the Father. He said, I always do what pleases the Father. I don't have a will of my own. I don't have words of my own. I have deeds of my own. I always do whatever the Father wants. Ah, that is hupotasso. So Jesus hupotassoed himself to the Father. There is the perfect picture of perfect love governing all things. Is Jesus God? Fully. Is God the Father more God? Is Jesus just a creature? No. Jesus is eternally God. He's always been God. He never had a time when he wasn't. He always was. So Jesus is fully God. That's amazing that Jesus would have to submit to his Father when he's always God, but he does it voluntarily. Not because he has to, not because there's some punishment. He said, the reason I'm sending you downstairs with people because they don't know the love affair that we have. They need to understand the relationship of love. They need to see how I love you no matter what. And Jesus never sinned. So why would he have to submit? Because he did it voluntarily. He said, Father, send me. Here am I. Send me. I want to serve you. I want to please you. I want to do what you want. And I'll go down and show them that even to the death. Even though I suffer for it, I'll do it because I want them to show how powerful love is, that even if I die, you'll raise me up again. So the Father said, then go. I'm sending you down. And so he came downstairs to show us what love was looking like. He's the Father. He's always the head. I'm the Son. I'm equal to him. I'm equal to the Father. Remember when the Jews heard him say that? The Father and I are equal. We're one. It's like, all right, we're killing you for that. I mean, if you'd have said you're submitted to him, we would have bought that. But you also say you're equal to him, and yet you submit? Of course, every man and every woman are equal. There's just as much dignity to a woman. There's just as much as human to a woman, even a child. A child has just as much human as the parent. You can't say, well, we're more human than the child. No, we're all equal. We have equal dignity, equal value, equal worth, even if we sin, even if we do wrong. We're still equal in terms of our being. Even if we ruined ourselves, we're still the same. You cannot exalt yourself over another. But love, that's a different kind of government, where we actually submit one to another because of the assignment God has given us. So that's why it says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, the way the Lord sets it up. So the woman submits like this. Well, what you're about to do, I just thought I'd submit this. That's stupid. That's a good submission. Did you all hear what I just said? Or she says, I don't want to. Or she says, I don't think you know what you're talking about. This is all great submissions because she's submitting what she feels, what she thinks, what she wants. Do y'all see that? It's easy. So submission is not at all obedience. It's just submitting what you are. Just tell the truth. No fig leaves. No hiding. No games. Totally transparent. Honey, I know you always want to do this and that and so on. I just want you to know we've moved 17 times this month and I'm not going to do it again. However, I will submit to it if you submit to Jesus and make sure you got a word from Jesus that this is going to be a great blessing because the other 17 moves, not. Now, that's a true submission. How many know that a man can make a better decision when the wife is totally told what she thinks and what she feels and what she wants or anything she wants to say? So submission is the easiest thing in the world. What's difficult is to make up some lie or not to tell the truth or to hide something from him so that he can't make a good decision. So a submission is, that's what I think. That's what I feel. Now you know everything. Boom. Because often a woman will outsmart her husband. And she'll go something like this. He's about to come home. And so she says to the kids, quiet, you know how dad is. You know, he gets angry at the smallest thing. Sit down. So that's a trick. Because now the husband doesn't know about that. Gee, the children look so well behaved. And so she just fooled him because she's smarter than he is. She needs to go to him and say, honey, let me tell you something. The kids have been acting up all day long. I've hit them 15 times and you know, it's not working. You just need to go in and whip them, you know, whatever. But just tell what she thinks. And then he can make a decision. Honey, I don't need to do that. Did you tell him what to do? I did. You know, and so on and so forth. And he can assess it because she has been completely transparent with him rather than going around his side. Well, let's say I owned a company or let's say this church. We're going to add on a second story. Did you know we could do that? We can just add another story upstairs. In fact, there's a lot of room up there. If we ever took these little things down, you'd see this thing is big. And so I could say, we're going to do that. It's only going to cost us, you know, $40,000 or some number. And then somebody would submit and say, Pastor, why are you doing that? I just thought it'd be a good idea to have more room. Well, we only have 80 people coming. And besides, we're broke. Did you think of that? So that's a submission. You see, it's not an attack. You're not controlling me. No one is trying to stop it. It's just like what you want to do won't work, period. That's the submission. Then the decision maker can say, I'm going to do it anyway. How many know that she's thinking to herself, could I submit one more time? This is the 18th time you've made a stupid decision. This is not going to work. And I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to control you. I don't want to control you. I'm just submitting to you. All right. So that's how submission works, total transparency. Then the decision maker is subject to God. Not to the wife. It's subject to God. So she says to him, why don't you go and ask God? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Instead of making another foolish mistake.
How do you know it's foolish? I'm Pastor Jim.
You know, well, because of your track record. That's number one. And so on. But she doesn't have to give a reason. She can just say something like this. You know, I really don't know and I don't really don't care. Honey, just go and ask Jesus. And if he tells you to do it, okay, go ahead and do it. And when we're broke, and we'll talk about it. You know, so on and so forth. So God knows that marriage is easy as long as the one submits and the other serves. Not rules, but rules by serving. So the purpose of the head is to use all of his power, all of his majesty, all of his glory, all of his incredible love to serve the one that is submitted, not to abuse. Now, what am I talking about? This. I take the burden, Father says to the Son. You take the blessing. I take the burden. If anything happens to you, I'll take care of it. So I'll take all the burden. I just want you to get all the blessing. And your blessing will be you're going to get a wife. Wow, what will she be like? A knockout. After she knocks you out, then, you know, we'll deal with it. But she'll be great. So how many know Jesus was coming down among relatives? Don't worry about a thing. You'll be among, you know, Jewish people, nice people. And so God the Father sent him deliberately down amongst the people who are stubborn and stiff-necked. How many know that Jewish people are like that? So he said, I want to send you down among your own people, and they'll kill you. And you will suffer. And you will never have a moment's rest with them. I just thought I'd tell you that. I'll take the job. Sounds good to me. But I'm going to get a wife out of this, right? Right. I swear, you'll get a wife. She'll be perfect. Perfect wife. Wow. That's quite a vision. That's who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. How many know that when Jesus came down, he knew he was going to get a wife forever, eternal. She wouldn't just be for time. She'd be forever. So that's the church of Jesus Christ, and we're part of that church. And I believe that this year, right now, here, we're going to be perfecting, not by our own will and power, but by his. Because he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And God has always had this idea, and he doesn't like to not get his way because he's the head. But he serves us by saying, whatever I tell you to do, I'll do it for you, then I'll do it in you, then I'll do it through you. And all I want you to do is submit to that. In other words, believe that. So if you believe it, you don't have to help me. If you believe it, you don't have to help me. Because if you help me, you'll have your fingerprint on it. You'll try to take a little pride out of that. Because flesh always wants to get a little glory. I don't know if you've noticed that about flesh. It's always just a little bit of glory there. God, in all humility, I'm proud of what I just did. You know, there's something funny going on there. Is we always want to get glory even when we're Christians. How many know that Christians want glory too? They want to be triumphant. They want somehow when they walk in for people to go, a little bit of glory that only belongs to God, a little bit of worship, a little bit of God. How many could raise their hand and say, you know what, Pastor, that's what I really would like deep down. If I took my fig leaves off, I want people to worship me. I want them to pay attention to me. I want to be really important. How many are like that? Golly, one. I got one. Nobody's like that? Two. I got two. Three, four, five. You want the glory. I mean, we do want the glory. You know that you still have flesh. I know he's not in your spirit, but he is in your soul, and he is in your life, and that's where sin comes from. So where do you think the sin comes from? Satan? God? Adam blamed God. Oh, you blame Satan. I tell you, that's not where our problem lies. Our problem lies that we just want to do what is wrong. We're just rebellious. We don't want to submit. We don't want to come clean. After we do sin, we don't want to just come clean and say, God, I just sinned. But what God wants is for us to come clean. Why? Because he doesn't want us to feel guilty about it or to change. He wants to do all of the changing. He wants to take care of it. And he'll just give it to you for free. He never expected you to keep any laws anyway. Did you know that God did not make you so you'd be perfect? He made you so that he could then perfect you, not you. You are not capable. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. Under the pressure that's on you, you can't be perfect. Now we know you can't be a perfect wife, perfect husband, perfect child, perfect pastor. You can't be a perfect anything unless it's given to you by God. That's why he's in us to will and to do. If he didn't do that, if he didn't say that, if he didn't promise that, if he didn't swear that, we couldn't do it. We can only do what God do. You are not even capable of ever keeping any laws. So it'd have to be a free gift that he worked in you and then he worked it through you. So that's what Jesus came to do. Now, in Ephesians, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. The husband's job, take all the burden. The wife's job, take all the blessing. How many know that? It sounds good news. I've never blamed, where is your husband? He's at work. He's taking all the burden. You're getting all the blessing. That's a good husband. It's perfect. Now, God wants the man to make sure, have no other focus but to please his wife. You know, he can't say, well, I have my ministry. No, that's a performance. I'm going to neglect my wife. King David did that. King David was a man after God's own heart in the kingdom thing, but when it came to the wife thing and the children thing, He stunk. Are you all aware of that? When it came to his family, Absalom, you know, when it came to his children, when it came to his wives, he was a failure. He didn't do very well. He was not a good picker at all. So he failed, and that's why he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Here I got another one. I've sinned again. But God created me a new heart. I'm confessing my sin. I mean, if you hold your sin in, something's going to happen. If you keep your sin hidden. But if you confess it unto the Lord, if you let it out, you'll be clean. So submission doesn't mean obedience. It actually means, and you will obey, but the way you're obeying is by coming clean so that God then can operate through you, so that God can then glorify himself. Because Jesus is actually purifying himself in order to present the church to himself. He's doing the purifying to present to himself a chaste virgin, a glorious bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, without any blemish, without any stain, without any flaw, without any imperfection, nothing of this world, whether it be the false church or the false world or false Israel or anything, immorality, bad heresy, anything, no flaws. He's coming back for a church like that. I mean, no, we're not quite ready. If he came back today, we wouldn't be ready. Somebody say, well, I'll be ready because I have faith in Jesus. I know, but it's good. But you can't just do it because of faith. Faith should be active in love. He's not wanting just faith. He wants a faith that's alive, that's quick, that's active, that gives life and gives hope. What if he came back today? We wouldn't be ready. Why? Because what he wants is for you not just to believe in him, not just to be disciplined and discipled by him, not just to be crucified by him, but also to walk in love and to be led of the Spirit so that men may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Otherwise, we go in and there's hardly anyone there. No. He wants you actually to bring in the world, to bring in the lost, to bring in all those others. He's not judging the political. He's not judging the economic. He's not judging the social. He's not judging the wicked. He's not judging any of them. Leave those grow. Don't even remove them. I'm after you. All he's after is a church that will actually do exactly what he wants as the head. And he's serving, therefore you have no excuse. Since he will make it happen, you have no excuse to say, well, I just was human. Or, well, it's just because of what he did, that's why I did that. No, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You can live a holy life here. You can live a holy life now. You can live a holy life today. Well, I don't think so, Pastor. I'm probably more stubborn than most people you're thinking of. Really? You don't think you're exactly like them? No, I think I'm a hard case. How many are harder cases than somebody else? Yeah. Wrong. Everybody's equally difficult, impossible, can't be done. Everybody, equal. So there are no people that are better than other people. Teeter-totter. There are no people that, you know, are smarter than other people. I know you think you are, but you're not. And so that's one of the smart things you ought to come to is that you're not very smart. If you were really smart, you'd know that you weren't really smart. And if you're really good, you would know that you weren't, that was God. Because only God is good. If only God is good, then only God is good. Then only God is good. And then only God is good. That means no one else is good but God. So if that's true, then that's true. So if that's true, and it is, then we need to submit to that and realize, you know, if there's anything good comes out of me, it was God. And I'm going to give God the glory. That's why men don't glorify you when you do good works. They glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Because they know, even Jesus said, the good works that I do, I don't do them. The Holy Spirit, God the Father who dwells inside of me by the Holy Spirit, he doeth the works. Whoever dwells in you is the one doing the works. So if it's you, or it's the devil, then it's not Jesus, then it's not God. So who dwells in you? What kind of a temple are you in which God dwelleth? Well, you'd have to be pure. So that starts out in your heart, then it goes into your soul, then it goes into your body, and you're thinking that's in heaven. Uh-uh. That's here. Men don't glorify God in heaven. They glorify God on the earth so that they could go to heaven. When they see your good works, then they know it's possible. If they don't see your good works, then they think it's not possible. When the world looks at the church today, they see hypocrisy. they don't see that the church is really genuinely, you know, caring and like God. They see that the world is just like, I mean, the church is just like the world. They didn't see any difference. You do the same things we do. So there's no light and there's no salt. So the salt is like the truth of the gospel that convicts. When men see that, they're cut to the heart. The light is like the love of God, and which does this to the world. Wow, that's what I should have been. I want to be like that. And secretly in their hearts, they're pricked because they go, you know, what I did was wrong. What you just did was right. That was God. And they're convicted. So the world is waiting for the church to be the church. When the church is the church, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, then the world will finally be harvested. And the Lord will come back for his bride. And anyone who will may come in. So a great harvest is still out there. It isn't yet over. So now the first verse, 21, is submitting yourselves one to another. Then the next verse is God speaking directly to the wives, not to the husband telling the wife. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as to the Lord. In other words, submit to your own husband, even though he may be flawed. Submit yourself to your own husband as to the Lord. In other words, submit to him even though he's not perfect. How many know that husbands aren't perfect? And you just only been married 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks now. 6 weeks? Ah, well, I see now why you got that. 6 weeks, yeah, that's about it. Yeah. But in 6 weeks, you figured out already he's not perfect. But you knew that beforehand. So wives, this is kind of a tendency. They tend to marry men, and also they tend to marry men that are not perfect. Has anyone else noticed that? I mean, just kind of an observation that wives tend to marry men and then they're usually imperfect, right? So unless you married a pastor, you're in trouble. A pastor would be different, but, you know, so Peg has no complaints or gripes, you know, she's totally happy, called radiant. And so, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. This is not the husband telling the wife to submit. This is God telling her to voluntarily hupotasso herself. You know where this word comes from? It comes from I don't know if you've ever seen Quo Vadis or, you know, one of those movies about ancient Rome. And they have these triremes, these ships that sail the sea, and they've got a bunch of slaves with oars out this side, and then they got a bunch of slaves over on this other side on the top row, and then in the second row, they got a bunch of slaves doing the same thing. Then on the third row, that's why it's a trireme. So that ship is going somewhere. It's going to go from point A to point B. And the captain of the ship stands up on a plank that goes down the middle, and then it's completely open so he can see all the rowers. He can see every rower. So it's a narrow plank over the aisle that's down on the bottom of the ship. Nobody's there in the bottom. They're all on the sides. And he can see everything that's going on. And so the captain walks back and forth. And he, being the head, kafale, he tells everybody what to do. And he said, you know, faster. And the drummer, boom, 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 boom. And then whatever happens, the rowers have to go faster. You know, they're all rowing because they can't get one oar going this way and another oar going this way. It has to all be done in order. So submit yourself in order. And so all of those slaves down there are realizing if we get our oar out of, you know, rhythm, yeah, out of order, we'll be beaten or whatever. I mean, that's the end of it. So let's row, you know, in everybody row in the same, you know, and so on. So the captain is pleased because everybody's running. He has a whip in his hand and he has a sword at his side. He could easily decimate any one of them because he's the head. But if he's a good head, he's smart. He wants everybody to be in harmony so he can get where he's needing to go. And so he feeds them and he takes care of them and so on. But one thing, he doesn't want them to be hiding any knives on them or any keys that'll open the locks and so on, because then there'd be a rebellion and he'd be overthrown. And so he doesn't want that. So he takes good care of them because that's what a good head should do, serve and take care of those that are submitted to you. So he wants the burden of I'm totally responsible for the ship and for everybody that's on it and for the cargo that I'm carrying and for where we're going to go to deliver it on time and so on. So hupotasso is everybody under the captain's power, his majesty, his glory, his whatever, they have to do what he says or else. All right. As a Christian, you do it voluntarily. That's why God speaks to the wives and say, wives, voluntarily do this, not as a slave, but as a servant to the one that's serving you. And then God himself can never be a tyrant. He can never be inept. He can never be a wimp. God has all authority, all power. No one can overthrow him. And he says, as my son does, I want every one of you in the church to do. Now, in the church, here we are whacking each other with the, you know, hand, you know, the little paddles and stuff and pulling it through and bumping the other guy. So the churches are all squabbling. How many know that churches don't get along with one another? And the people inside a given congregation can fight with one another, and they can just have all kinds of battles. Well, he doesn't want that. So God says, as I am to my son Jesus, I kephale, he hupotasso. And Jesus said, I'm totally going to do whatever God wants me to do. That is like a husband to a wife. That is like a wife to a husband. I told you how easy her job is. I never blame a woman if a marriage goes wrong, ever, ever, no matter what. I don't care what. I don't care what you come up with. I always blame the man. Why? Because he's kephale. In other words, he's submitted to Jesus, therefore he's kephale to his wife. Meaning, as Jesus served us, because he was our kephale, our head. He was submitted to the Father, but he's our head. And therefore, we're submitted to him, so we're an head. And if you are a head, but you weren't submitted, you aren't a head. In other words, only God the Father is the only head that's not submitted to anybody. But Jesus the Son is submitted to the Father, therefore he's the head of us, every man. And every man is then the head of his wife, but only if he's submitted to Jesus. So that love order, everything being in order, is that we need to be completely in line with. How many know that there's something inside of you that says, I don't want to? There's something inside everybody that says, I don't want to be in order like that. I mean, let him do it. Okay. But just submit to him and tell him that. God, I don't want to do your will. I want to do my own. I know I'm not supposed to, but I want to. What I really want is everyone to worship me. That's all. I'm just going to take that away from you and take it to me. I'm just being honest with you. And God loves that. God's not mad at that because you know what? He knows it. He can tell when you're trying to sneak one over on him. God is completely aware of everything you think and say and do. Long before you do it, he knows what you were thinking. He knows what you were feeling. He knows what you were wanting. You might as well just come clean because he knows anyway. And someday he won't fool God, because he's known all along what you were really doing. So he wants a church. He decided the world wasn't going to go his way. The Jews weren't going to go his way. So everybody's rebelled. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now all he's got left is the church. And we're the last deal. There's going to be no other. This is it. This is the perfect thing that God is introducing on earth. He even made us a new creation. Not like Jewish people, not like natural people. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ones submitted to him. So now, husbands are part of the bride. So both the husband and the wife are submitted to Jesus. And Jesus is submitted to the Father. So as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves every man, so every man loves his wife, and therefore, we're all together the bride of Christ. So this scripture says, husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, when she was in debt, he paid the debt. Then after he paid the debt, he realized there was no more money in the trust fund, but it at least had been brought up again. But what if man spends it again and then it's not there? And that's exactly what we've done for the last 2,000 years. Everything Jesus put into the trust, we spent it. Because ministers often wanted to run off with the organist, or ministers often wanted to have a big ego and put their picture on a billboard or something. And ministers often were greedy for, you know, the money that was in the till. So ministers often didn't serve with the kind of leadership that they should have as a leader. Therefore, the church is still in a mess today. It's not perfected. How many can say amen? That was a quiet, like amen. Okay, let's say it again. How many say amen? Yeah, of course, the church is known. It's kind of like a proverb out there. Christians are hypocrites. In other words, they say one thing, but they do another. So people don't believe the church is really the church. And yet God has promised, he swore an oath, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm going to have a holy church. I'm going to have a pure church. I'm going to have a spotless church. I want that and I'm going to have it. Because he already knows everything. I mean, you know, when he swears something, that means he already knows that it's going to happen. So we will be part of his holy church. And only he knows the heart. Only he knows the soul. You don't even know your own soul or your own heart. All that we can know about a person is what they do on the outside. That's the only thing we can know, their behavior. And you can't always tell from behavior what's behind it. And so it's a difficult thing for Jesus to get the church he wants, but I say he's about to come back and take a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such things. Not just an individual, he's all of us. We're all to be the church of God, and no labor is coming forth from us. Or the labor that comes forth from us will be wrought by the Holy Spirit in us and through us, because that's the majesty of God, is that the head does all the serving. He never expected you to keep the law, and you'll never keep the law. You didn't keep it before when you were pagan. You didn't keep it if you were Jewish. You didn't keep it if you were religious. There's no way that under the law anyone can perfect themselves. The only way you can keep it is from a full heart. He gave you a new heart. Now he also has sworn to give you a new soul if you submit to his discipline. And then he also has sworn to give you a new life so that you'll be the branch that bears the fruit so that he gets all the glory and the world gets all the benefit. That's what God's wanted. So all he wants is a church that looks like heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. That's the church. That ought to be the church. That should be the church. That could be the church. It isn't the church that's the problem. What's the problem is the pastors of the church don't even have that vision. The pastors of the church are not really trying to get people to do anything more than just believe in Jesus, because that's the easy part. But he doesn't want them to really grow up. He just wants them to be like little children and stay like little children. And that's why we are like little children. But what he wants, the Lord, as our kephale, the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, through us, what he really wants is to have a wife for the Son, prepared by the Spirit, so that you'd be baptized in the Spirit and you'd be led to do everything that pleases the Father, voluntarily, without anyone forcing you. So then he says that the church he's coming back for will be a glorious church, verse 27, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Enough preaching. Now you can see what God wants is to have us hupotassoed to him. Father, I'm clean, I'm naked. I come before you just as I am. I don't lie. I'm not going to fool you because I can't. And you don't want me to obey. What you want me to do is to submit, come clean, so that you can then change me from one degree of glory to another by beholding you. In other words, when we're in relationship with Jesus, not when we're in performance. When we're in relationship with Jesus, you will perform. But when you perform, you give him the glory. Because it's the performance that comes out of the relationship, not the relationship that's produced by the performance. In other words, if I do this, then you'll do that. No, this one's different. Because you've done this, it's over. Therefore, you will do that. For example, he says, "You shall be holy as I am holy." Now I'll put it on the left hand. You shall be holy as I am holy. Or you could put it on the right hand. You shall be holy, for I am holy. In other words, it's my holiness that will cause your holiness. Over here, it's my holiness that demands your righteousness, your holiness, your purity, and you better do it or else. This one is better. Same words, different inflection. Totally different meaning if it's a command or if it's a promise. Wives do not do well under commands. What they do well under is promises. Sweetheart, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a good husband. Honey, don't you lift that burden. Give it to me. Tell me anything that's bothering you. I'll take care of it. I'll pay the debt. I'll do anything. I want you to have all the blessing. I want all the burden. That is a man. That's a real husband. That's the kind of husband that God the Father taught God the Son. And now Jesus the Son is teaching us how He and the Father do it in heaven so that it can be done on earth. And in the same way, it's the Father that doeth all things. It's the Father that doeth all. Jesus is able to do all kinds of things. But He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. I have a will, but not my will, but thine be done. That's because He totally trusts the Father, because it's a relationship. And it's a relationship of love, not of obedience. I'll do it, Dad. No, no, no. We are loving people that are imperfect. You cannot trust any person here. There's nobody, including yourself, that's trustworthy. And yet God is going to make us trustworthy. How will He do that? That's His business. That's something He does through love. That's the transforming power of love. The order of the kingdom is that trireme, where the one who is kephale has those under him who are hupotasso. They hupotasso themselves to the one that is a good, loving, great, powerful servant. Jesus said, I'm not among you as one who kephales. I'm among you as one who serves. I've come to be a servant, a trustee. That's a man. So every man in this church, every man should be a servant of Jesus long before he's a servant of his wife. Otherwise, he'll be a tyrant or a wimp. He'll be too weak or too strong. But if he's first dead because of the love of God, because once you get in front of your beloved, you're dead. Faith, real faith, produces death, not life. It isn't to preserve your life. You preserve your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. When you begin to realize that God has already done everything, it's not even yet to be done, it's been done. Before the foundation of the world, it was done. Now we are to walk in that so that God the Father, who cannot lie, said, I will have a people. I will have a pure bride. I will have those that submit to me voluntarily. And one of the evidences, one of the signs, one of the proofs is marriage. The marriages today in the church are as bad as the marriages today in the world. It shows something wrong in the church. Something's wrong with the ministers. Something's wrong with the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors who ought to be and indeed should be teachers, that is, discipling, that is, crucifying the flesh of every man, not the women. He's not trying to shape the women. They know how to submit. They will easily submit to a man who submitted to Jesus. Any woman would love to have a man who's completely 100% sold out to Jesus. She would submit at once, whether you know that or not. The problem is we don't have the men that today are submitted to Jesus. Therefore, we don't have the women that are content to be underneath a man who's either a wimp or a tyrant. We need to have real men who are taught by the Lord. Don't need your wife to help you. She's not the reason that you're unhappy. It has nothing to do with what she doesn't do or does do. What you need is to have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit until you no longer are you, but you're His you, voluntarily submitting. So David, we'll start with you. You should be the first one in the church. Be a good example now. Stand up and tell your wife, I'm going to submit to Jesus, therefore you can submit to me. Amen. Praise God. That would be powerful. David. Amen. Yeah. That's good. That's good. All right. Stand up. Tell your wife. Amen. Praise God. Who else? Who else would like to do it? It's kind of fun. We don't have any men here. Who else would like to do that? I am going to be the servant of the Lord. Yes, Ryan. Amen. It's precious. It's powerful. Those are not mere words. Those are powerful words. Words have power. Do you know that God created the world with words? They just spoke and it came to be. So It doesn't matter where your soul is, where your body is. It only matters, speak right out of your heart, transparent, clean. Don't justify it by something in the soul. Don't slow it down by something in the body. Forget your heart, your body and your soul. Just seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. If you just seek God with all your heart, pretty soon you'll seek Him with all your soul, pretty soon with all your life. The problem is the heart. There are many hearts divided today. I do love Jesus, but I also love myself. That won't work. I do love Jesus. That's good. That's a gift. But now He also wants to give you another gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need power. You need heavenly power, not earth power. You need to have the power of God dwelling within you. You are the temple of the living God. You are the light. You are the salt. You are what this world needs. Your prayers, your life, your love, your mercy, your majesty. Why? Because the majesty of God dwells in you. And now, through that relationship, all other relationships will be changed and transformed. So when He comes back, He will find a church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. That's what He's looking for. All right. Anyone want to testify? Lord, that's powerful. That's what I need to know, is that this year, right now, here in this area, the whole world is waiting to see what happens to America. America is waiting to see what happens in Texas. And Texas is watching North Texas right here. What is God doing? I'm not the leader of it. I want to be part of it. But I believe that God is actually beautifying His church right now, perfecting His bride right now, so that in every way there'll be no spot outward or inward. She'll be pure, with a pure faith, with a pure soul, and with a pure life, so that men may see that and give glory to the Father in heaven. Who sees that? Who sees that same thing that I'm talking about? Is I'm not just preaching a sermon. We're actually talking about what God is doing right now. Pastor, I believe that's going to happen right here in Texas. I believe it's going to happen this year, just like that. Who else has heard that? Anyone else heard that? Yes? Debbie? Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? David? Also. Praise God. It's powerful. It's powerful. Anyone else? Yes? This truth will set the world free. The world's not going to get it just by osmosis or just because we meet in a building. They're going to get it because we're actually living it and actually submitting to it. All you have to do on the inside of yourself is say, Lord, I submit to that. I don't even fully understand it. But I know it's true. I know it's written in the Bible, first of all. It's written. But second of all, I'm just quickened to say, without full understanding, that's what I want to happen. Use me. Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let it begin with me today. That's what God is looking for. Let it begin in me today. I can't do it, but I know with Christ in me, it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me, the life I now live, I can live by the faith of the Son of God who died and who gave Himself for me, who loves me. And that's the power of love. That's the power of the Father's love to the Son's love to every man, every man's love to his wife, and so on, the children. It just keeps going. That kingdom will never end. Every other kingdom will fall apart. We are seeing right now a shaking of the nation. The problem doesn't lie in the nation. It lies with us. The problem doesn't lie in the nation. It's not in Texas. It's not some corrupt politicians. It's not some corrupt businessmen and so on. It's not people that are out there in the world. It's us. We're not in line with God. If we were, God would do great and marvelous and wondrous things. He is going to do it anyway, but He's going to begin in His church. So, you know, Lord, just take me as I am, because I'm not doing it anyway. I just want to be part of what You just said. I believe that what the Father said was done in love. I don't think He's an angry judge. I think He's a loving Father. And because He's a loving Father, He will do what He said. He can't lie. We could lie. He can't lie. Every man can be a liar, but not God. God cannot lie. So He's going to do it. It's just whether you want to think this is the time, or this is the day and the hour, and this is the place. But I'm telling you, as your pastor, that's what I've heard from God. I'm already there. I'm not going to ever veer from it. I'm not going to look at my watch even. I just know that's what God told me. It is going to be right here in this lone star state where God is going to do something that will go around the whole world. And it won't be over until He comes, until He returns. The Antichrist will come and do all this stuff. But we should be ready before the Antichrist comes. We don't need the Antichrist to help us out. Just because you see the darkness of the Antichrist means nothing. It's whether you see the brightness and the beauty of the Lord.